Hi, I'm Gail.
And hi, I'm Catherine. Welcome to Women Over 70 Aging Reimagined, our award-winning weekly podcast. Please visit womenover70.com and consider joining Aging Reimagined Circle, our sustaining membership fund, so we may continue to inspire women to age with curiosity, courage, and creativity. Members enjoy monthly programming and probing discussions on issues that matter to women. So we hope to see you virtually on Zoom.
For 25 years, Carol Stitzer, who was 80, was a development professional with major cultural and educational organizations in Chicago, including Lyric Opera of Chicago, Chicago History Museum, and Center for American Archaeology. She spent 15 years at Lyric Opera, responsible for fundraising and board development, managing their million-dollar capital campaign, and coordinating international travel for the board of directors. Following retirement, Carol continued to work as a part-time consultant for Lyric Opera and other not-for-profit organizations. Carol's volunteer experience is extensive, specifically volunteering for organizations dedicated to social causes. Among these are the Boulevard, a residential facility for adult homeless, the Admiral, a continuing care retirement facility, and Kid Street Family Workshop, instructor at Lil Street Art Center. Carol is also an artist and likes to create art that are unique. Her ceramics, collage, painting, and other art all have unconventional style. She and her husband love to travel. They've been on 15 bike tours, taking up residency in countries for 6 to 9 weeks. And in between, Carol edited Marshall's 2 books. Assisting him with his recent health problems have curbed their travel plans, but only temporarily. So, Carol, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. And after listening to all of your podcasts, I'm like, I haven't written any books. I haven't done any public speaking. I haven't worked on any major social issues.
That's okay.
Right here. But I do think that I have something to offer sort of in terms of living and aging for women and men, both. I love your podcast tagline that says how to live your life with curiosity, courage, and creativity.
Thank you. Yes, thanks.
Curiosity is sort of one of my favorite subjects, because I have behind my desk, I have a little thing that says, curiosity is the cure for boredom, but there's no cure for curiosity. That's sort of how I have lived my life. I think I learned my curiosity from my mother, who always wanted to know what was around the next corner. What was...
Wow. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I think, you know, these sort of 3 C's that you talk about have led me and sort of guided me in my life.
Sounds that way, yes. You know, your career seems to have held so many opportunities. And what led you to this kind of work?
Well, like many women, I started out and I studied, got my degree in education. Kindergarten, primary education.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not even sure I worked for a year. And I decided I do not want to sit in reading circles with one-year-olds for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So I decided to look around. I had done some market research while I was in school. And so I went back and worked there afterwards, I ended up staying there for 7 years, and I ended up being head of their data processing department back in those days when they used those cards for computers, you know, those punch cards. Mm-hmm. But I had a staff of about 30 people, and I did a lot of research, managed budgets, everything. Mm-hmm. But I decided after those 7 years, I kind of wanted to take my skills somewhere else and see, you know, what else I could do. So I ended up working. What I did is I took one of those aptitude tests and said I should be an undertaker or an archaeologist. So I decided against being an undertaker. And so I checked into archaeology, and I ended up working for the Center for American Archaeology. Mm-hmm. And sort of all of this just kind of kept evolving for me over the years. And that program was connected with Northwestern. And I started doing excavation work with them. I was probably the oldest person doing excavation. Everybody else was, you know, high school, that kind of thing. So I was there for about a month, and the director came out to the excavation site and asked me if I'd go to work for them, which I ended up doing. I ended up then being an instructor, field instructor, and they wanted to open up a museum gift shop and a bookstore, so I ended up doing all the buying for that store and opened that store. And then I worked with various board members and that. I did PR, I did marketing, pretty much a lot of the things that I had done at the market research company. A lot of those skills just carried forward for me. And I was a tour coordinator for the board of directors and ended up doing development for them. And, you know, while I was there, I also met some really interesting people. One of the instructors he did his research in Africa. And he was giving a lecture. And after the lecture, I went out. He talked about the fact he was going to go back to Africa and do some more work for his dissertation. So I went up to him afterwards and I said, "Do you need any help?" And he said, "Sure, if you can pay your way to Africa, you can help." So that's what I ended up doing. I went over to Africa. I worked in his lab with him and his wife and his, they had a daughter. And I worked on a lot of things that Richard Leakey worked on, things I've seen on the covers of National Geographic. So it was just kind of like asking, why not, you know? After I worked for that organization, the archaeology program, for about 10 years, then I kind of decided I wanted to maybe go to a larger organization. So I went to the Chicago History Museum and worked in development there. And I worked with basically their major support groups and did fundraising, you know, the usual thing there. And I was there for a couple of years, and I decided, I'm getting kind of sick of fundraising. I wanted to sort of get out of it. But I guess that wasn't really meant to be, because some of the women that were on the boards at the History Museum were also on the board at the Lyric Opera. And they knew I was trying to leave the History Museum. So I think I told you this story to you, Gal. I went to do the interview at the opera, and they had already received a reference letter for me before I even got there. Mm. And one of the women's board members was there for the interview.
Oh, wow.
Needless to say, I never left fundraising. And I ended up working at Lyric Opera, which was really a great experience. And everything that I had sort of learned, you know, over these 17, 20 years, mm-hmm. just sort of fit right in to working at the opera. And it was a great experience. I was there during the Artis Krenik era, which was absolutely fabulous. And, you know, I did a lot of the same things. I worked with the Women's Board. I did travel for the Board of Directors. They were doing a sculpture for the woman who started the opera. Gosh, I just lost her name. And I was the one that kind of worked with the sculptors and, you know, sort of gave approval on, you know, whether it was appropriate and that kind of thing. So I really got to do a lot of things. And I actually ended up, as Gail mentioned, doing their capital campaign when the opera and the symphony sort of connected. They had a collective capital campaign, and then we did our own capital campaign. So I sort of managed that capital campaign. And then I did more board trips, and then I was going to stick around, but my husband had retired, and I thought, I think I want to retire. And so I did that, but I said I would be acting director of development for them for, I think it was about 6 months, while we interviewed, and we hired a wonderful woman who was working there at the time after doing a search, and then I was free. And so I retired, although they asked me if I would continue to do the board trips. So I did, after I retired, just do the board trips, which I say just did the board trips.
Yes.
Just a little bit more than that. So it was a lot of work, but it actually turned out great because I did the trips, and then my husband would come over after the trip, and then we would stay on various places. So that's kind of how I got to sort of evolved my career, starting out with education that I found out wasn't what I wanted to do.
And were you doing art all this time, or tell us about
it? I always really did art or was attracted to art. Even my mother was a painter, and I would work with her as she got older on some of her projects. She did a wonderful painting that in the end I helped her finish, and now I have it in my home, which I love having. And but I was always attracted. I have to say, I started out using myself, if you want to say, as a canvas. How I dressed. If I wanted to do something unique, something different. And jewelry. I didn't want to have two earrings that were the same, you know, that wanted them to be different. And I guess that was always my sort of style. I can remember my husband and I used to go to the gym, and next door was a car dealer, and they had a yellow car. I want a yellow car because everybody's got a gray car and a white car and a black car and a navy blue car. This one went in and bought the car for me. And, I was always that way. I took some abstract art art classes, painting classes, but I didn't want to do paint, you know, still life. I wanted to paint abstract. I've done collage, and the collage, I've always tried to make it unique and different. I use wallpaper as the background for the collages and things like that. So I really have always done it. And once I started ceramics, I started on the wheel, which probably pretty much everybody does. Mm-hmm. And I did it, and then I tried hand building. Then I kind of went back and forth. finally, I said, Carol, you got to make a decision here. And I decided I wanted to do hand building because it was much more freeing. And I didn't want to make cups and bowls for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always done sort of odd things. I have a big, probably a foot and a half long sardine can with the big fish flying into it. I've done a baby that's got zippers on its head opened up and it's painted yellow. And I've made a lot of things, and I always have to add things to them. I said, I have to use the Crate and Barrel effect. You know, Crate and Barrel, they don't put out one glass or two glasses. They fill the shelves with glasses. And that's, I can't just make, even if I make a bowl, I've got to add something to it. I've got to put a zipper in a door, you know. And I made one large bowl that has about 450 bees inside of it. It's like a beehive.
Wow. Carol, where can people enjoy, see your art?
I do have a website, actually, that isn't really up to date, but I've been contemplating bringing it up to date a little bit more. But I'll send you that website. Did I give it to you, Gail? I can't remember.
I don't think so. No. No.
Yeah. But I even combined my zippers and beehives. I just gave a piece to my niece that she's hung outside of her summer home on the Chesapeake that is a beehive, but it's all zippers made of clay and bees. So, you know, and right now I'm working on a piece. Our teacher was having us do figures. Mm-hmm. I started it. I just couldn't get myself into it. It sat there. And then the next session, he had us do boats. So I started on a boat and I still had the figure. So what I did is I chopped the figure up. I chopped the boat in half. And now I have a figure in a boat. So, you know, I just am always trying to make it unique, make it different. I've done a cow for the city of Chicago.
You did.
It came out. Mm-hmm. I read about it in the paper. And I said to my husband, I want to do a cow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a cow. They hauled it up to the third floor of our apartment in Old Town. And I painted it at night after I came home from work. And so I did that. And then another interesting art project that I got involved in, this artist, her name is Samantha Amto, I think. She was a waitress in a restaurant. We got talking about art. And she said she was doing a project called Women's Weight in Dough.
Wow.
And I said, I want to do it. So she and her team came to the house with flour that weighed the same as I did. And then they mixed it all up on the floor of our dining room or on canvases. And they gave me the dough, and I sat actually in a chair, and they wanted the cow in the picture. And I had to sit there for like an hour and a half or 2 hours while the dough rose, and it all just drooped down to the floor. But I loved it. So, you know, then she took pictures of it, and I have pictures of that. So, you know, I'm always doing something. And I don't know if you want me to ramble on, but I did, and we were in Venice and for the Biennale.
Uh-huh.
And people kept sending us texts saying, you have to go to the Lithuanian exhibit. Okay. So we go, there's a line a mile long. We go in, and it was called Sun and Sea. And these three women, actually, the librettist, the composer, and then the set designer. Fabulous, interesting women. They wrote an opera, but it all took place on a beach. And so people they had filled the floor with sand, people were on the beach and the people viewing were up on a balcony, but nobody got up and stood and sang. They just sang as they were laying on the beach.
And
it's all about like pollution and all these problems. So it's, I should send you the connection because they're still doing it. But anyway, we were there and I got talking to somebody and I said, who are all these other people that aren't singing? They said, oh, they're just, you know, like volunteers that come. I said, sign me up. I want to come. And I said to my husband, you want to do it? He goes, I don't know. I said, well, I'm going. So he said, okay, I'll go. We went to the dollar store and got bathing suits in Venice. The next day we went and we were on the beach for 8 hours. It was so much fun. We went back the next day. And they came to Philadelphia and we even went to Philadelphia and did it there.
Wow.
You know, these kind of art projects are just things that grab me.
Yeah.
You know, something unique and different. And I just,
right.
And now even working with some mannequins that it's a crazy project, but I won't go into it. But, you know, then I started teaching at Little Street, which was really great. I think one of the things that just got me when I was there, I was in a class and there was some kids class going on and I was walking behind one of the children to put my things on the shelf. And I started talking to the kids. And I said to this little girl, you know, why do you come here? And she said, I just love this place.
Oh,
it's my personality. And I thought, you know what? That's, was like a little me.
Right.
So it was, so then I've just continued doing teaching there, family workshops. And, in effect, I have one on Friday and, you know, we do ceramics. We do other things besides ceramics. So, you know, it's just been a fun part of my life, really.
Yeah. Sounds like it. Oh my goodness. And yet I know you've been dealing with your husband's health problems.
Yeah, that's been tough, I have to say. But he's doing really, really well. Really well. And
great.
The Lord. Yesterday, we just got an email from the infectious disease doctor saying things are looking really good. And I want you to come in next week, but I think, you know, this infection is so, but you know what's interesting about it? Personality. I'm very calm, although I get excited about a lot of things, but I'm very calm. I'm organized. I've got lots of energy. I'm very much in the moment. And I think those things have helped me get through this. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of positive attitude mm-hmm. has helped my husband too, because, you know, he'd get down in the dumps and think, oh, now I've been in the hospital for X number of months and I can't walk and I've got to use a walker. I said, you know what? It's going to get over with. Mm-hmm. And I think that rubs off when you're with somebody. And so, you know, I'm doing all I can to get us back on the road again. And I do think that, you know, I've done a sort of, if you want to call it, official volunteer work over the years. Mm-hmm. But I think these qualities have really helped me do what I call my other volunteer work. And that is, so many people call me, they need something, or sometimes they don't even call me. Like, I might have told Gail this story that my college roommate was going to move. And she'd lived in the same house for 35 years, raised her kids. I said, there is no way you can do this. There is no way. She didn't ask me, but I said, I'm coming and I'm going to help you. And I, those qualities of being calm about it, you know, being, having a lot of energy, you know, so I've done things like helping people get organized, helping people declutter. I've done weddings. I've done flowers for weddings. I've helped people move. Somebody breaks something, they always call me, Carol, can you fix this? You know? So I think those qualities that I can have really helped me. And I think I sort of learned those. I had a very close family. I have a mother who was curious, as I said earlier, mm-hmm. and lived to be 101.
101.
I had really loving parents. You know, I think if I said sometimes I feel so normal, I feel abnormal. You know, people's lives, people have really tough lives. Mm-hmm. And I've been lucky.
Yeah.
And so I say luck, but I also think that luck is partly an attitude, you know. But people do have problems. They have bad luck, you know. So
what drew you to work with the Boulevard, the residential facility?
Actually, my sister was working with them. I have two sisters, one who passed away about a year ago, at a year younger than I am. Just like that. And they both studied nursing. She was in nursing. And so they called her to help get the Boulevard started. And then she knew I had all my fundraising experience. So I got pulled into the Boulevard because of that. So I was really there from the beginning of the Boulevard. And it's been a great experience working with them.
Tell our listeners what the Boulevard is.
The Boulevard is basically a respite care center for ill and injured homeless. And if you think about it, if you go to the hospital and you get sick, you get shot, you break your leg, whatever happens to you, when you get a discharge from the hospital, what happens? You go home. We all go home. I remember when I had my hip replaced, they said, do you have somebody at home that can help you? Blah, blah. We all do have that. And if you're homeless, you don't.
Right.
And so we work with various hospitals, institutions that, you know, people who have been ill or injured can come. And while they're there, we really work with them to try and end their cycle of homelessness. Mm-hmm. Probably told you a little bit about this too. It's a great time to be able to do that because they're there. You know, a lot of those people come in and they have built up walls around themselves, understandably. And it takes a while to get those walls broken down. And once they're broken down, then you can help them.
Wow. So, yes, I think the work you've been doing is just wonderful. And
I haven't read any books about it, but oh my God, you have people that have written so many books. It's amazing. I'm an editor, not right.
So what do you think about your own aging, Carol? How are you thinking about that? You said your mother lived to 101.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't think about it. I really don't think about it. Mm-hmm. But you know what's interesting is I have a mother who lived to 101. Maybe that's why I don't think about it. But then I have a sister. Yeah. Is about to give a docent lecture for the Architecture Foundation and drops over just like that. So, you know, that makes you think about it a little bit. But I can remember when my mother turned 40 and I said to her, "Oh my gosh, Mom, how does it feel to be 40? And she goes, "I feel exactly the same way I felt when I was 18. And, you know, that's pretty much how I am. I'm very much in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people talk about, well, they did this, and that was back in 1987. I mean, I literally have to go to some document to remember how long ago that was. And I, you know, we'll plan a trip, but I don't get myself all wound up about it. You know, when it comes time to pack, I pack. When it comes time to get on the plane, I get on the plane. I'm just very much in the moment. And I think that gives me strength for myself. And I think it gives me strength for others, too.
Right.
I think that calmness is kind of...
Was your mother calm like that?
I think she was. Yes, yes. She really was. She, you know, I think maybe as she got older, she worried a little bit more, but seriously, she really didn't. Mm-hmm. And I can remember when she died, we were all there. She was up at the Admiral, and we were friends with this undertaker. It's crazy. Yeah. Maybe I should have been an undertaker. I don't know. But he walked in the room, and the hospice people that were had been with her maybe for the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He walks up. We're all hugging him, and they're like, "What? I've never seen anybody hugging the undertaker." But anyway, my one sister, the one that passed away, and I stayed. And we walked with him through the downstairs and till they put Mom's body into the car. My youngest sister, it was a little tougher for her. But, you know, I think that calmness, it was okay.
Yeah.
She was 101. She was ready to go. Oh. And she just, you know, so we accepted it. Mm-hmm. And, so I guess that's kind of how I look at it.
A way to view life.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I mean, I think any advice I can give to younger people, I say, get into a relationship where you both respect each other, number one. You know, if you respect them and they respect you, no one's going to give the older person a hard time.
Right.
And, I mean, I've been married for 40-some years. It feels like 15. So I think that's really important. I think people have to open up to other people. It's amazing how you can get in an elevator in a building and nobody says anything. I always friends say, "Oh,
hello,"
or whatever. You know, just talk to people.
Carol, you've said several times that now, "Well, I just happen to be talking to so-and-so." You know, it seems to be a gift that you have to just connect with people.
Definitely. Yeah.
I never think of myself that way. I think my husband's more that way. But I don't know, lately I have become more that way.
Uh-huh. That's great. Time has a way of going very quickly.
Yes.
Catherine, did you have any other questions?
No, this has just been delightful. Thank you, Carol.
Great. Thank you. Sorry, I feel like I've done and on, but...
No, everything you said...
And you two are amazing. You have met some unbelievable people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have.
I'm sure. And a fabulous experience, and great that you're sharing it with so many people.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
And listeners, thank you for your loyalty. Because of you, our numbers are growing all across the country and overseas, and this is a good thing. Still, we need more subscribers and reviews on Apple Play and YouTube. So support Women Over 70 and let your voice be heard and help us change the conversation about women aging.